According to Luke and the chapter 10. Last Lord's the evening, we looked at verses 25 to 37, where a lawyer came to Christ, and as a result of that conversation, Christ gave the account of the Good Samaritan. And now this evening, in verse 38, we pick up the reading in the chapter, and we're told, "Now it came to pass as they went," that is Christ and his disciples, "that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Amen. We'll end reading at the end of the chapter. Let's just bow briefly in prayer, and let us all ask for the Lord to give me help in the preaching of his word, and every one of us help in the listening and the applying of his word to our hearts. Let us all pray. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. And Father, we ask thee now that you'd undertake, Lord, I do believe it is thy will, as is revealed in thy word, that thy scripture goes forth tonight, and the teaching of the gospel goes forth tonight, not merely in letter, not merely in truth, but in power. This morning we saw how we need the truth taught to us. We also saw this morning how we need power to impact and to change our lives through thy word. And so, Father, we thank thee that we have all that's necessary in thy word tonight. I do ask thee that you would forgive me afresh for all my sins, and simply take me up, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit, and use me as thy channel. Lord, bring much glory to thy name. You be seen to be the true and the living God, thy Son, the only Savior of men. And Father, may the lost come to know Christ as their Savior. And Father, may the seed be strengthened in him, putting him first, loving him more than ever before. Lord, give us wisdom. Make us all to be what you want us to be. You have created all things for thy pleasure, so receive pleasure this evening, that the wicked will not perish, but will be saved by thy grace. Turn from their wicked ways and live. In Jesus' name we pray it all. For his glory alone we pray it. Amen and amen. This morning we sang hymn 188. Let me remind you the words of it. "O wonderful, wonderful word of the Lord. True wisdom its pages unfold. And though we may read them 1,000 times o'er, they never, no, never grow old." It goes on to say about how each line of God's precious word hath a treasure, and every promise a pearl. And thinking upon the passage set before us this evening, and thinking upon it in the context of what has just happened in Christ's conversation with the lawyer and the recounting of the story regarding the Good Samaritan, I have to say that while in preparing for last week, I read the Word of God and thought about it again and again and again, yet there was something else that struck my mind. And it sort of made all of the message last week, just as it were, to be crystallized, just to be clear in my mind. You see, in that story, there are three different types of character. There is the sinful character of the priest and the Levite, those who broke the law of God by not showing love to their neighbor. The second type of character is the character that's perishing, the dying character, the man who is half dead and will soon die. And yet he's a man that finds no help in the Jewish leadership because they pass him by. And he finds no help in the law which the Jewish leadership represented. The sinful character, the dying character. And then we also find the loving character of the Good Samaritan himself. The one who saw the one who was in need and came along and rescued him and showed love to him. Thinking upon those three types of character, I'd put it to you tonight that bit by bit, Christ wanted the lawyer to see himself and as each of those characters in turn. First and foremost, Christ wanted the lawyer to see himself as the sinful character, like the priest and the Levite, who had failed to love their neighbor, who had failed to fulfill the law of God. And then seeing himself as a sinful character, Christ wanted the lawyer to see himself as the dying character, the one who's half dead, the one who is spiritually dead and will soon be physically dead, and as a result he's perishing and on his way to the place of the curse in hell, and how he needs to be rescued. And how, whenever he looks at the law which he was trying to earn his way to make himself right with God, the law will do him no good. And even whenever the lawyer could look at the Jewish leadership who was rejecting Christ, that the Jewish leadership is doing him no good if this lawyer tries to follow the example and the teaching of the Jewish leadership by trying to tempt Christ and get him to fall. And if this lawyer was to see himself as the dying character, and to see then Christ himself as the good Samaritan who loved him and wanted to rescue him, that receiving Christ as his Savior, his righteousness, his rescuer as it were, that the lawyer himself would then be the good Samaritan, that he would go out and tell others the good news of Christ, that he was the one who was come to rescue and to save, and they were not to listen to the Jewish leadership, but they were to come to Christ for salvation. The three different types of characters in the story that Christ told in verses 28 and following. And in light of that, whenever we now come into verse 38, we immediately are brought to a lady called Martha. And many people, in light of the account of the Good Samaritan, they may turn around and say, here is a lady that is the Good Samaritan. Here's a lady who is seeking to help those who are in need. You look with me at verse 38 of the chapter. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered, it is Christ entered into a certain village, and a certain woman, Martha, received him into her house. Here is Christ. He's just told a story about the Good Samaritan. Many people listening around. And as he's going on his way to Jerusalem, where he's going to pay the debt for sinners, we find that as he's traveling from village to village and from town to town, he arrives in a place called Bethany, a little village just a couple of miles outside Jerusalem. And as Christ arrives in the village, he's got nowhere to eat. Perhaps he's even got nowhere to lay his head and the rest. And Martha's seeing this, seeing one in need, especially seeing Christ in need. She welcomes Christ into her home. Very likely she welcomes those that were with Christ, the 12 disciples, and if there were any of the 70 or about, perhaps some of them came in as well. Martha's desire was to at least give them a good meal, to help them in any way that she could. She was being a good Samaritan, helping one who was in need, showing love, showing service, showing kindness, showing hospitality. In fact, I would put it to you that she's doing it with joy and with willingness. This was not forced upon her. This is something she voluntarily did. Because if you look at verse 38, we read in the middle of it that a certain woman named Martha received him, that is Christ, into her house. If you look up Strong's dictionary, you'll find that the word received there, actually, it comes from two words. It comes from the word receive and it comes from the word under. It's only used a handful of times in the entirety of the New Testament. It's used, for example, as Zacchaeus who received
Christ into his home, and we're told in the same verse, he received Christ joyfully. It is also used of Rahab whenever she's spoken of in the New Testament, how whenever she received the Jewish soldiers into her home, and she received them willingly, even at great danger to herself. And I'd put it to you that this verb, where we read about Martha receiving Christ into her house, carries with it the idea of receiving someone joyfully, receiving someone willingly, receiving someone with this aspect of putting yourself under them, as a servant to them, to do what's needed for them, no matter what the cost, no matter what the financial cost of providing the meal, no matter what the time and efforts involved. Martha willingly, joyfully, not reluctantly, not with hesitation, not with pressure being put upon her, but willingly, joyfully, humbly, would serve Christ. Here, surely, is a picture and an example of one who is acting as a good Samaritan, loving her neighbor, someone who's practical, somebody who's not merely professing Christianity, but is a doer of Christianity in Christ's likeness. In verse 38 was all that was said regarding Martha. Martha tonight would be exalted, rightly so, praised and commended for her behavior. And that would be good. But sadly, that's not all that's said regarding Martha. While she acted well in verse 38, yet sadly the verses that follow show us that there's something amiss here. For those that were here before, can you remember what was the problem with the goods? What was the problem with the lawyer? What was the problem with the priest? What was the problem with the Levite? Why did they not show compassion to their neighbor? It was because they lacked a love for God. He's the fulfilling of the commandment. This whole context in which this story is related to us is loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then you'll love your neighbors yourself. I'd put it to you here that in this passage we have Martha doing what's good practically, but failing to do what's important and essential spiritually. A life that looks good, but is in fact not right. And then we're going to have it compared with a life that looks bad, but yet is in fact good. Referring, of course, to Mary's life. And so tonight we have two women, we've got two lives, and we've got two commentaries by Christ on those two lives. And if I was to put a title on the message tonight, it would simply be this: First Things First. Notice with me the first life tonight, and that is entitled The Distracted Life. The distracted life. Look at me, please, at verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Look about that word cumber. If you look up Strong's dictionary again, you will see that it's defined in two ways. The word literally means dragged all around. That's how Strong's dictionary defines it. Dragged all around. A Scottish minister, David Murray, described Martha as one who's being pulled in many directions. If you imagine a circle, and you've got Martha in the middle of the circle, and you've got arrows pointing every direction. And here's Martha, as it were, she's cumbered. She's being dragged about all around in every direction. And we're told the reason why. Because of her much serving. Now, I do not know what all would go into a Jewish meal and Jewish hospitality. But imagine what goes into hospitality today. There is the hoovering of the floors, the cleaning of the table, the wiping of the windows, the preparing of the dishes, the getting of the food, the washing of the salad, the cooking of the meat, the boiling of the vegetables, the preparing of a dessert, the welcoming of the guests, the getting of the water or the juice while the people wait. Maybe even a cup of tea. And so many more things could be mentioned. Martha had potentially 13 men in addition to her own household that day. She maybe even had some of the 70 disciples who were in the village at the time, because remember Christ sent them out preaching
around village after village, and perhaps some were in that village. So maybe she had them as well that day. We do not know. But imagine some of the things that she had to do in welcoming Christ into her home. There was the organizing of the home, perhaps the getting of extra seats from a neighbor, the going and buying of extra food. The likelihood of her having enough food for all the people in the house that day is unlikely, in my opinion. There was perhaps the quick cleaning of the room, the repairing of the food once it was actually got, the being polite to the guests as they were there. There was then the cooking of the food, the getting of the water, the cleaning of the feet, person after person, because of the dirty dust that was in the road. You get the picture, surely. Martha was being pulled in so many directions. And yet, this is the emphasis tonight. Because while Strong's Dictionary will define this word as convert, as being pulled about in every direction, that's the literal meaning of it. The figurative meaning of it, according to Strong's Dictionary, is that she was distracted. In fact, if you have a margin in your Bible, you may find indeed that word there. Cumbered is the idea of distracted. This is the essence of what was happening. It is true that Martha was busy. And it is true that Martha was busy doing good things. But the problem with Martha was not that she was busy. The problem with Martha was not that she was doing housework. That's not the problem. The problem with Martha was that she was distracted from putting first things first. You see, there were many things calling out to Martha that day. The feet that needed to be washed were crying, "I'm the one thing needful, Martha." The dishes that needed to be set out were crying, "I'm the one thing needful, Martha." The seeds that needed gotten from the neighbors were crying out, "I'm the one thing needful, Martha." The food that needed to be purchased was crying out, "I'm the one thing needful, Martha." The food that needed to be cooked was crying out, "I'm the one thing needful, Martha." The water that people needed for drinking was crying out, "I'm the one thing needful, Martha." Martha was beside herself. All these shouts, all these things crying for her attention, being dragged about this direction and that direction and the other direction, so many things. And yet there was no arrow pointing her to Christ. Christ was sitting in the home with Mary and with Lazarus and the disciples sitting around him, listening to him teach. And why this should have been the one thing that drew Martha before everything else, this should have been the biggest arrow. Yet it wasn't even on a radar. Every other arrow, to the left and to the right, and every other which way, was Martha's focus. She was listening to the cry of every single one of them. Shout out, "Martha, I'm the one thing needful. Martha, over here, I'm the one thing needful. Martha, over here, I'm the one thing needful." It's all flooding her mind. The issue here is not that Martha was busy. The issue here is that Martha was distracted from the one thing that was needed. And I wonder tonight if you are distracted from the one thing that's needed. Are you distracted from Christ, the one who is needful for your salvation? The one purpose for which you were created, the one purpose for which you exist, are you distracted from that? Are you being pulled in this direction, in that direction, in the other direction? And you've got your school, and you've got your home, and you've got your family, and you've got your work, and you've got your plans, and you've got your purposes, and all the rest of it, and you're distracted. And yet you're not realizing that Christ is the one thing needful in your life. He is the one purpose for why you're here. And of course, there's an application, is there not, to believers? Martha here is a believer. Are you distracted from the one thing that's needful? You've got your responsibilities. You've got your cares and all the rest of it. You've got your duties. But are you distracted from the one thing that's needful? Christ. We're talking tonight about the distracted life. Notice with me a number of things regarding that distracted life. Notice with me that the distracted life, first of all, led to an anxious life. In verse 41, we read, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." The word "careful" there is not referring to Martha being cautious. but to Martha being anxious. It's referring to Martha being full of care, full of worry, full of concerns, full of anxiety. The word for trouble is translated by Strong's dictionary as disturbed. Martha was agitated. Martha was stressed out. She was overwhelmed, overworked, overexhausted. Everything was becoming a trouble to her. The cleaning, the shopping, the cooking, the being polite, the getting of the water, the cleaning of the feet. It was filling her with worry and indeed with anxiety. The distracted life led to an anxious life. The distracted life then secondly led to an angry life. Look at me at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him, that is Christ, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? As Martha was pulled about in every direction, as she was filled with stress, filled with worry, filled with care, Martha begins to think the Lord Jesus does not care about her. Oh, she's heard sermon after sermon, I have no doubt of that, about Christ declaring his love for men and for women, and indeed for Martha. But she's beginning to think the Lord doesn't even care about her. Dost thou not care, Lord? Martha also is beginning to think that her sister's abandoned her. She says at the end of verse 40, my sister hath left me. She's left me. My sister doesn't care about me anymore. And Martha's getting angry. The distracted life leads to an anxious life. And the distracted life leads to an angry life. Getting angry with those around you. Getting angry with the Lord. Notice me a third thing. The distracted life here led to a self-centered life. While the day began, all well, Martha had great intentions. Christ is coming. I'm going to receive Christ joyfully, willingly, into my home. I'm going to put myself under him. I'm going to serve him. This day is going to be all about the Lord. And yet it ended up being all about herself. I'm left alone, she said. I'm serving alone, she said. Christ isn't loving me. Mary's not helping me. What needs to change is not me, but everybody else. Mary needs to change. She needs to get her act together. Christ needs to change. He needs to get his act together. I'm the one doing all the work here, and no one is helping me. No one's noticing me. No one's caring about me. No one's doing anything to support me. The distracted life led to a self-centered life. Fourthly, the distracted life led to a demanding life. These emotions building up within Martha to the point of boiling over, Martha, perhaps interrupting Christ mid-sermon, butts in and says, hold on a minute, Lord. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Martha not only accuses the Lord of glory of not caring about her, when in fact he came down to this earth for her and had lived 33 years on this earth for her and would go to the cross and was on his way to the cross just a couple of miles from Jerusalem where he was going to die for her, not only does she accuse the Lord of not loving her, she actually demands that the Lord gets his act together and does as she bids him. Bid her, she says, that my sister help me. Men and women, this evening, Martha began her day thinking about serving others. Great motivation, great intent. But she got distracted. She didn't put first things first. She didn't sit down and see the love of God to her soul that would fill her with love for him. Because it's only when we love God that we can then love others. Remember the context of the lawyer. That's where he failed. This is where Martha is failing too. And while her day began with a great intent, the reality is that her day ended up not about serving others, but it ended up all about self.
Her day started to be all about love, loving others. But it ended up hating others, being angry with God, being angry with those who were close to her. Her day started off with peace, but it ended up in stress. And in reality, her day ended up not thinking about what God had given her, but seeing what God had not given her. You see, the essence of the passage is this. Martha's life has become all about her rather than about the Lord. Her life is all about the works that she's doing that she's going to offer to the Lord and say, look what I've done for you, rather than focusing on what Christ has done for her. Let me ask you tonight, are you living a distracted life? Are you one who thinks that this earth is all about what you do for God, how you're going to please God? Or are you one who's going to sit back and realize it's all about what God has done for me? Do you see the distinction here? Do you see the difference? The issue tonight is not whether you're living a busy life. Being busy for the work of Christ is good. We're told to redeem the time because the days are evil. The matter tonight is not about whether doing housework is good or bad. We're told to care for those in our household, especially those of the household of faith. The matter is here, are we distracted? Are we distracted? Being pulled about in all these other directions, but not going to the Lord. Not seeing Him who made us. Not seeing Him who sent His Son to die for us. Not seeing the love of Him to our hearts. And giving her all to Him in repentance. Giving her all to Him and asking Him to be our Savior. And giving our lives to Him day by day by day. I belong to You, Lord. Let me ask you tonight, are you angry with God? Over the past week, have you been one who's been thinking more about what God hasn't given you than what He has given you in His Son? Are you one who's been thinking that God has been hard on you, that God has done you a bad turn? Are you one who's thinking more about yourself than anything else? Oh yes, you have the intent, my life's to serve others. I'm doing so much for others, but really, the reality is you're thinking, well, how busy I am, and how much I have to do, and how much is on my shoulders, and how much I'm being pulled this direction, that direction, the other direction, how much I'm doing for everybody else. No one's doing anything for me. And you're beginning to get angry, beginning to get bitter. You know, they need to get their act together, and they need to do better here, and they need to do better there. The reality is that you are stressed out, you're exhausted, you're overworked, you're overtired, you're overburdened, and you haven't got the strength to carry on. Because really, the reality is that you're putting your focus on what you are doing rather than what Christ has done. You're putting your focus on those things that are temporal rather than that which is eternal. You're focusing on what you're doing to try to please God and what God has done in love for you. Because it's only whenever you take time to see how much God has loved you, to
fill with the love for Him. And it's only when you love Him and fulfill the first part of the law that you'll then have grace and strength
to fulfill the second part of the law. This applies to believers and unbelievers tonight. Let me ask you, are you putting first things first? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Are you putting Christ first? Seeing His love to you and being filled with a love for Him, that you will then love Him with all that you have? Or are you putting the temporal things of life first? Are you putting the home first, the cleaning, the shopping, the cooking, and the hosting? Are you putting your business first and your work first? Meetings to attend, people to call, projects to complete? Are you putting your schoolwork first, young people? Your coursework, your assignments, and your exams? Or maybe you're putting something else first. Maybe it's the helping out of a loved one who's ill. Maybe it's the preparing for some competition in some sport. Maybe it's trying to get closer to a certain friend. And all these things are shouting out to you, calling your name. Look,
One thing is needful, and that's me. One thing is needful, and that's me. And then over here, here, I'm needful, I'm needful. Put me first.
The reality is that you're distracted. Now, Martha here is not involved in some great immoral sin. But her service has become more important to her than Christ. What she's doing is more important than what Christ has done. That's the issue. And tonight, you can be a person that does many good things. You can serve many people, and that is good. That is good. You can even do it in the name of the Lord. And while people can look around you and say, look, aren't they just great? Aren't they great? The reality is tonight that your heart may not be right with God. Because you're putting your work and your efforts before Christ and what He's done for you. Let me ask you tonight, are you living the distracted life? What was the duty of the law? Found there in verse 27, Christ said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And then, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Tonight you and I have seen the distracted life. Let us now see the second life, and that is the devoted life. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we read, now it came to pass as they went, that he, that is Christ, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary, at this present moment, is living a life devoted to the Lord. Notice with me a number of characteristics of her life in this passage, and indeed the characteristics of a devoted life. Devoted life is, first and foremost, a prioritized life. Mary knew there was much work to be done. There was the cleaning and the cooking and the organizing and the preparing. She knew it. But Mary also knew that there would be time to get it done after Christ was finished talking. After Christ had said what he wanted to say to her. Christ never turned around and said to Mary, by the way, Mary, go and get that done, and then once it's all done, come and speak to me. No, Christ began to speak, and it was Mary who said, I must listen now. This is the time that Christ has chosen to speak to me. This is the time that I must listen to him. It's now. This must come first. This is my priority. Mary's life is a prioritized life. At the end of verse 40, Martha said that Mary left her, and that is true. Mary did leave her. Mary made an active choice to leave Martha, to leave the work, to go and to sit at the feet of Christ. It was a priority to Mary. Just as oxygen is needed for survival, so is time with Christ needed for the soul's survival. The soul needs to breathe in the love of Christ, because otherwise it will not be able to breathe out service for Christ. The devoted life is a prioritized life. Putting the seeing of Christ, the beholding of his love, that you would be filled, surrendered, and given all to him. That is first things first. This life is not about what we are doing for God, is about what God has done for us. What he's accomplished once and for all for us at the cross. It's thinking upon that that then stirs our hearts to love him and to serve him. Devoted life is a prioritized life. The devoted life then, secondly, is a focused life. Why did Mary leave the servant? Why did Mary sit at the feet of Jesus? Notice with me at verse 39. Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and what? Heard his word. Notice that the word there, the term for word, is singular. Now that, of course, does not mean that Mary only heard one word. It meant this,
Mary was so attentive to all that Christ was saying that she saw in the message of Christ one word, one message, one thing for her. She was attentive to all that was being said, that she is able to grasp the whole meaning of his message and what it meant to her. Mary's life was focused. She wanted to hear from Christ. She wanted to understand, not just a little bit here and a little bit there, but she wanted to understand all that Christ was saying, all that Christ was meaning, all that Christ had to say to her. Her life was focused to hear Christ, to hear of his love to her, to hear of his will for her. The devoted life is a focused life and a prioritized life. But notice with me that thirdly, the devoted life is a determined life. Can you imagine the scenario? Imagine there in this house, likely a lot smaller than the houses we live in. And there in the main room, there you've got Mary sitting at the feet of Christ, and you've got the disciples around, you've got Martha working around like a busy little bee. I could imagine so clearly Martha giving Mary the evil eye. Going behind Christ and staring at Martha, sorry, staring at Mary. Maybe coming alongside and giving her a shoulder. And then coming along, Mary not doing anything about it, coming along and saying, Mary, get up. Get up. Come help me. Long before she ever butted in with Christ. But yet Mary was determined to sit and to listen to Christ because she knew that's where she ought to be. Christ was speaking. Christ didn't turn around and say to Mary, by the way, just take a wee break, Mary. Just you go and help Martha for a while there. No, Christ was still speaking. Christ didn't stop. Christ was still speaking to Mary, and so Mary had to listen. There was more for Christ to say to Mary. And so Mary was determined to sit there, even though it wasn't popular, even though it wasn't liked by those whom she knew, and those even in that household. Mary knew it was right to make time to stay there, to listen to all that Christ had to say. The devoted life is a determined life. Christ will be first. Thinking upon his love to me in the gospel is first. Thinking about what he's going to do for me there at Jerusalem comes first. Being changed by him with a heart of love comes first. Because before I can do anything to help Martha, before I can do anything in service for others, I must see this first. The devoted life is a determined life. Notice with me then, the devoted life is a submissive life. In verse 39, we read, and the Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Mary was close to Christ. In fact, she couldn't get any closer. She was right at his feet, with nothing between her and Christ. She was gazing upon Christ. To sit at someone's feet was a position of a disciple. Someone, yes, who wanted to learn from the Master, but also wanted to obey the Master. And so you hear, we see that Mary was one that was submissive. Lord, whatever you want, I will do. Your will for me is more important than my family. Your will for me is more important than an easy life. Your will is more important to me than me pleasing people. Your will for me is more important. I don't want anything coming between me and thee. Nothing. Submitted. And then, of course, the devoted life is a delightful life, because there she sat at Jesus' feet. She was in the very presence of the Lord. It's interesting that whenever we read of Mary, on the other occasions in Scripture, we read of Mary again and again and again sitting at Jesus' feet. Whether it's here in Luke 10, whether it's in John 11, or indeed John 12, whenever we read of Mary, we read of Mary at Jesus' feet. She was one who spent time in the presence of Christ. And in Psalm 16:11, we are told that in the presence of God is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The psalmist said in Psalm 34, oh, just taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, joyful, happy is the man that trusteth in him. Whenever God created this world, I've mentioned this to you before, whenever God created this world and God created mankind and placed him there in the Garden of Eden, the purpose was that God would have fellowship with man. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, had perfect fellowship one with another, filled with delight, filled with love, filled with satisfaction, and yet in loving mercy and grace, they made mankind and brought them into that fellowship to enjoy fellowship with the triune God. And yet whenever man sinned, he was cast out of the garden, out of the presence of God, and yet in salvation, Christ came to be forsaken by the Father, to suffer the wrath that we deserved, who were forsaken, that we could then be brought back into fellowship. And here is Mary getting a little glimpse of eternal glory, where God will dwell with us and we will dwell with him. Here she's getting a glimpse of heaven. She's delighting in her Savior, the very purpose for which she was created, that which would satisfy and thrill her life. The devoted life is a delightful life, and the devoted life is the blessed life. Because in Isaiah 26, verses 3 to 4, we read, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Mary knew there was a lot to be done that day, to look after Christ and look after those that were with him. But Mary, because she had that devoted life, because she put first things first, she didn't have the anxiety. She wasn't full of care and concern the way Martha was. She had peace. She was doing what she was meant to be doing. She was with Christ. She was seeing his love to him. She was trusting his will that whenever he wanted her to be there, that she was there. And no matter what else had to be done that day, that it was all going to get done that was needed to be done according to the will of God. She had peace, and she had strength. She kept her eyes upon Christ. She wouldn't get distracted. And she wouldn't get angry and bitter. She would see Christ the way she ought to see him. She was filled with love. And then finally, the devoted life is the valuable life, because in verse 42, Christ said, "Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." What do you mean, not taken away from her? You see, Mary was changed that day. She learned something of Christ that day that would never be taken away from her. She received a spiritual blessing and profit and benefit to her very life that would never be taken away. But Martha missed it. She missed it. So tonight, as I seek to conclude, what was Christ's word for Martha? What is Christ's word to us tonight that are distracted, that are putting all the things of life before God? For an unbeliever, putting all the things of life before his salvation, giving your life to Christ, seeing his love to you, listening to it, really believing it, taking it into your very life and letting it change you, that you'll come to Christ, turn from all the sin that you know and give your life to Christ. What's Christ's word for you tonight? And for us that are believers, what's Christ's word for us? We're distracted. We've got all these things. We're doing all these good things, but yet we're putting our service before Christ. What's Christ's word for us tonight if we're distracted? We're getting bitter and we're getting angry. What's Christ's word for us? It's first of all this. Christ acknowledges the situation we're in. Because Christ said to Martha in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled at many things." Christ, the one who acknowledges all the things that are in your life. Christ acknowledges all responsibilities that you have. Christ even sees, if you're an unbeliever this evening, all the things that are weighing heavy upon your soul, all the sins that you're involved in. And he turned around and said in Matthew chapter 11 about those that are weary and those that are heavy laden. Christ acknowledges it. He sees you being pulled this way and that way, and the flesh and the devil and the world pulling you all the ways. He acknowledges it. And why we see his acknowledgement, we see his love. Because he turned around and said to Martha, "Martha, Martha." We don't have the tone in which it's written, in which it was said originally. But I don't think it was a rebuke. In the sense of said in a harsh way. I believe it was endearment. I believe it was love.
And he repeated her name, Martha, Martha, because she had been so busy, and Christ didn't want her to miss this. She'd already missed the blessing that Mary had got. Christ didn't want her to miss this blessing. Christ didn't want her to miss this message. Martha, Martha. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And so what we have then finally is not merely Christ's acknowledgement of all the things that are pulling Martha away from him, and Christ's love, calling Martha to listen to him. We then have Christ's advice, because Christ directed Martha to what Mary has just done, to sit at his feet, to receive that which will never be taken away. And so tonight, first and foremost, dear unbeliever, Christ's word to you is this. He wants you to have the prioritized life. Yes, there are many things in this life that you have to do, but more important than any of them is that you get right with him tonight. More important than anything else in this world that you have to do tonight. Even if you've got people coming round to your house, I don't know for tonight. And you've got supper to prepare, I don't know. But more important than any of that is that you get right with Christ. That you take time to think about his love to you in the gospel. You think how he went to Calvary, and there he took upon himself our sin. And there he paid the debt that we deserved. He suffered the equivalent of hell forever for our sins, our lies and our jealousies and our failure to love our neighbor and our failure to love him. Christ paid the debt for our sins. Gaze upon that. Gaze upon him there at Calvary by faith, paying the debt, shedding his blood that we could be forgiven, that we could be brought into fellowship with him. Think upon the love of Christ to you. Think upon what he's done for you. The almighty, perfect, pure Son of God left the realms of glory to come down this earth for you. Prioritize that. And then live the focused life, hearing upon all that Christ has to say to you. Not merely his love to you, but his will for you. That you repent from those sins that are leading you to hell, and that you give your life to Christ. And no matter what family and friends say, you live the determined life. I'm going to live for the Lord. And no matter what Christ leads you to do, you live the submissive life. You sit at his feet as a disciple, ever learning, never remembering that his way is perfect. Because then you will live the delightful life. You'll know the fullness of joy is found in following him. The fullness of joy in ever learning more of his love to you. And then you'll live the blessed life. You'll live the life of peace. Not of worry, not of anxiety, but of peace. As you keep your mind stayed upon the Lord who has loved us, you will have peace, knowing that all is well. And no matter what Christ has called you to be and to do, he will give you the strength to do it. No matter what things will be out there, no matter what distractions there are in the world out there, no matter what there may be to make someone bitter, no matter what there may be out there that could disappoint you or that could lead you astray, Christ will be your strength. His love will be your stay. He will keep you close to him as you think upon his love. And then you will receive that which will never be taken away from you. You'll receive the knowledge and the joy and the forgiveness of Christ now, but then you'll receive it in all eternity in a climax greater than we could ever imagine. Dear unbeliever, you listen to Christ's love tonight, calling your name and saying, don't you miss this. Don't you miss the message. And of course, dear believer, you apply all these things to our lives. Christ wants us to live that prioritized life, to seek him first. Christ wants us to be focused as we do, not just to read a passage and that's it, but to be focused. What is his word? What, not just what one word is, but what's his word? What's the message he has for me? Regarding himself, regarding his will. And be determined. No matter what else there is, be determined. I'm going to see Christ. And I'm going to follow Christ. and I'm going to submit to Christ, and I'm going to trust Christ, and I'm going to walk close with Christ. I'm not going to let anything get between me and Him. I'm going to be at His feet, as it were, nothing between. And I'm going to enjoy Him. And I'm going to have a peace, knowing that all's well. And I'm going to have a strength to say no to the lusts of the flesh. And I'm going to have a strength that says no to the distractions of the world. I'm going to have a strength that's going to trust the Word of God and not listen to the deceptions of the devil. And I'm going to receive that which will never be taken away from me. Then I ask you, will you live the devoted life? Or will you perhaps continue to live the distracted life? Two women, two lives, two commentaries. What will you do with Christ and His message tonight? He's worthy of it. Give your life to Him. Put first things first. The Lord bless His message to all of us tonight. Let's just pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I ask Thee tonight that You would be pleased to let Thy Word live. Father, it is a living Word. But Father, let it change us. Lord, there is a message here for all of us, believer and unbeliever. Lord, let it change us. May all of us tonight seek first the kingdom of God. May all of us tonight see that Christ is the one for whom we were created. To love Him with all our hearts, soul, strength, and mind. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, help us to put first things first, because only then can we fulfill the second part of the law. Only then can we be that good Samaritan. In light of the one who was a good Samaritan for us. O Father, help us, we pray. Change us by Thy precious word, by the power of the Spirit of God, to the glory of Christ, we ask. Amen.